Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to The Connection, a weekly radio program where we share our experiences and expertise with stories of caring, courage, and change right here in Connecticut. Listen to learn about needed resources to improve your well-being and transform your life. Now, here are the hosts of The Connection, Lisa DeMattis-Lapore and Ann Baldwin.
And welcome to another edition of The Connection. I am Ann Baldwin, and it's a pleasure to be here today.
And I'm Lisa DeMattis-Lapore, CEO from The Connection. Good morning.
Good morning. And we want to thank all of our loyal listeners for getting up bright and early, and hopefully you like what we're talking about. And, you know, we're really talking about things that are going on in our society and issues that we have, not only here in Connecticut, but really across the country. And one of the big issues really is foster care. I know in my work with The Connection, I've seen so many incredible stories and talked to families that have fostered children, in some cases adopted them and really, you know, made them part of their own. And it's a wonderful thing to think that these kids out there that really need somebody to love them and need somebody to guide them through life, that there are those families that are willing to open up their hearts and their homes to these vulnerable, in many cases, children. So we've got Tiffany McCarthy here from Family Children's Agency, FCA. So welcome, Tiffany, to the program.
Tiffany.
Thank you.
So talk a little bit about FCA, which is the director. You're the director of family support for FCA. But, you know, what do you do and how long have you been there and how's it going?
Thank you. So I am the director of family support at Family and Children's Agency. I have had the pleasure of working at the agency for over 20 years.
Wow.
In several capacities. Most recent for the past, over 10 years as director of family support. At the agency, we look at supporting individuals and families through all different phases of life. So we focus on children and family, youth, adults, and seniors. And in doing that, we have programs that are designed for families in the home. We go into the home, working with first-time families, focusing on developmental aspects for their children, making sure that they have the supports in place to ensure that their kids are developing.
Thriving.
And thriving. On the other side of that, we also have programs that fall under family support, where the Department of Children and Family maybe have become involved with a family. So we support families through, again, you know, a lot of support around child development, child needs, but also accessing community resources, and then addressing the safety concerns that have led to DCF, Department of Children and Families, being involved with them. We also, for families that are have children in the Department of Children and Families care, we also have reunification services. And certainly we also work with The Connection through the Supportive Housing for Families program. We also have a very large foster care department.
And you do something unique with your foster care program.
We do. In my program, we have something called the Caregiver Support Team. So we have a foster care department at Family and Children's Agency, but caregiver support, which is in many ways similar to foster care, but it has it's the uniqueness of caregiver support teams is that we are working with relative caregivers or kin caregivers. This was a program that was developed several years ago because there really was an effort to make sure that if children needed to be removed from their families, that there be some attention given to where that placement's going to be. Traditionally, you know, for many years, it was just a traditional foster care placement with someone or a family that the child didn't know. With caregiver support teams under family support, we work with the relatives that have been identified as a resource for this child. So a child might be placed with their grandmother or their uncle. So in a setting that they know.
Exactly.
And we know that that's gonna help them feel more secure. But it's not just as easy as that, because we also recognize that, you know, for these families, some of these caregivers that are identified and that step up, maybe not, you know, they could have woken up in the morning and suddenly realized this child needs me. You know, so mm-hmm. there wasn't necessarily the preparation. You know, if someone goes into, you know, a traditional foster care.
You work up to that.
You work up to that. You're right. Trained and whatnot. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So these placements are unique like that. And so we also recognize that they need unique support around, you know, what is it like to all of a sudden be now the parent to your grandchild? It's a different role.
It's a different role, and you're at a different stage in your life. You know, that's one of the things. I just had my grandson with me for the weekend, and he's 6 months old. And I got to tell you, at the end of that weekend, I was exhausted.
Yes.
You know, and I've got my things that I need to do that I do on a regular basis on the weekends. Guess what? Nothing got done.
Yeah.
Because my focus and my undivided attention was on this kid. So it really does. And I think, thank goodness I had my kids when I was the age I did, because I don't know if I could do this again. So it takes a lot out of you. And a lot of these grandparents are not only taking in one grandchild.
Multiple.
They're taking in two, three, sure. You know, so.
And of course, we work with a lot of grandparents, but it also might be, you know, we've had instances where it was an older sibling who took in, you know, mm-hmm. so, you know, a sibling maybe in their early 20s that now is parenting a sibling that's, you know, preteen, mm-hmm. you know, and so there's a lot of issues that go into that. Right.
Right.
You know, because all of a sudden, you know, their, you know, ability to have freedom to be, you know, a 20 something person, you know, and whatever that looks like now, it's very much changed because they're responsible for another human being besides themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So we support that, you know. One of the things is, you know, looking at your example and of, you know, having your grandchild for the weekend. So that probably entailed, you know, 6-month-old, you probably changed a lot of diapers.
A lot.
You fed. the child.
Bathed
the child. Dressed the child.
Slept with him.
All important tasks. And a hard task, right? But you didn't have to figure out anything about daycare or pediatrician or maybe, you know, birth to three coming in, you know, other services that this child may need, right? Because mm-hmm. you turned the child back over to their parent, you know, at the end of the weekend
right.
and took a nap probably,
right? A big one.
So these are the things that we look at, mm-hmm. Really helping support that. Another big issue with these relative placements is the idea of intergenerational trauma. You know, so if I'm a grandmother that's now taking on the caretaking role, the primary caretaking role of my grandchild, you know, there is also, you know, the loss of like what happened. You know, what did I do as a parent that maybe led to this
right,
placement?
That's hard. That's difficult.
You know, just the idea that my child can't
parent.
Parent their children. You know, that's really difficult, you know. So, you know, we help address some of that. And again, looking at resources at Family and Children's Agency, we also have a behavioral health program. So we are very lucky that, you know, we're able to work with them to engage some of our families that need extra support, some extra clinical support in our behavioral health program. Mm-hmm. That's, you know, one of the luxuries of having an agency with such vast programs as Family and Children's Agency has, that we're able to link people not only in the community, but actually right within our agency. You know, we have also families that are facing substance abuse issues.
I was going to say that.
Yeah. So we have,
you know, children being born addicted.
Yep.
Exactly.
You know?
Yep.
So, but it's got to be better for the kid too, I would think, because, you know, I can't even imagine, you know, you take these and you know, my office is in a building that has DCF services. And I see these workers, you know, carrying in these babies and bringing in these children. And there might be, you know, they might have a visit with a parent. And I see the tears and the emotion and in some cases, you know, obvious dysfunction. And I even say to myself, thank God that woman that just walked out of here doesn't have custody of these kids right now, because I can see it. I can just see that it's not a good fit. So at least there's other options, and you've looked beyond the tradition of where these kids can go.
I think that's really important that our DCF Commissioner Katz, that she really identified this as a huge problem, and you know that this program exists, mm-hmm. because I really think it's a huge missing piece out of the system. So I'm really happy to hear that, because we also, I can remember one incident, I'll never ever forget it. In the very beginning when I worked at the Connection, we had we have a women's program, and the social worker DCF worker brought the child to visit mom. That kid was holding on to the railing, did not want to leave mom, and was screaming and kicking, I don't want to go back to. And again, it's just, you know, seeing the mom and just all the adjustment and seeing sort of the torment and what that's like. It was, I'll never forget it. It was horrendous.
Right.
Children
still
don't,
a picture in my head.
Children don't understand those adult issues that their parents are facing that lead to their removal. They don't understand that, you know, at least they don't understand it on a level that as adults we understand it.
Right.
And so being able to, like in that instance, knowing that you're going back to someone that knows you, that, you know, knows your special family traditions, perhaps,
or,
you know, really values, your relationship with your parent, can talk to you about your parent, you know,
in a good way,
exactly.
Even in a bad situation.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I think, you know, with caregiver support teams, another beautiful thing about them is that these placements create opportunities for maybe longer term placement, you know, so there might be a transfer of the guardianship of that child from the biological parent to grandma, right? So yeah, that can be hard, obviously, to know I don't have guardianship of my child anymore. But at least, you know, I also know my child is not in an unfamiliar setting. You know, they're in a setting that I know. You know, we work with the caregivers also on some hard things like setting boundaries, because again, you know, the child is, you know, placed with you. But the child's in the custody of Department of Children and Families.
Mm-hmm.
So understanding, you know, like, unfortunately, that doesn't mean that, you know, maybe the biological parent can sleep over or maybe even come visit the house. You know, so you still might be doing visits within the community. My reunification and therapeutic family time program that I oversee, they work with those children where we do visits in the community and in biological parents' homes, you know, in an effort to reunify these children, you know. But you know, it's two different things. You know, you've got, you're a grandmother, but you're also working, you know, on behalf of DCF.
Right, right.
So do your staff go into the homes and conduct, you know, counseling to the family, observe what's going on, et cetera?
Yep. In caregiver support teams, we're working in the home, in the caregiver's home.
Yeah.
And, you know, helping them to, you know, in the beginning, it might be just helping them sort of establish this child in the home. What does the caregiver need? Again, it might be, you know, a grandmother. We had years ago a situation where we had a grandmother take over two middle school age kids, and she really struggled with the fact that they needed to have their laptops because if she thought, well, you know, these children were just using it to play games, you know, and she really had a hard time understanding, no, actually that was a laptop that was where they did their homework, you
right
know?
Right.
So our staff was able to help that caregiver understand the changes in education, and that was huge, you know, because we can't assume that these people know all the nuances of today's education,
right?
Or, you know, I remember you know, talking with someone who had four children. And every time they had a child, it was a different way to put them to sleep. So their first child, it was like, okay, you can put them to sleep on their back. Their second child, no, on the back. It has to be on their stomach. And then, no, not on the stomach. It has to be on the side. And I remember, and this was an educated person I was having conversation with. And they were like, this is crazy. And I often think about, like, you know, what we know because we're in the business.
Mm-hmm.
We know all the latest trends and whatnot. Well, then you get someone who really their goal was to, you know, spend their days reading books and, you know, maybe going on, you know, family vacations down, you know, down south or, you know, out west to see friends. And now suddenly they're a parent, you know,
right.
We've had a lot of retirement plans interrupted.
Right. Exactly.
Know?
And, you know, you bring up a point too. I remember we chatted with a woman on this program And as a person in recovery, I go back to my recovery days. I needed that time. You know, my kids were grown when I went into a rehab and all of that. But I needed that time. I needed that. They were out of the state and living on their own. But I needed that at least month and a half to get my act together, to go into this program, to do what I needed to do for myself. I can't imagine trying to do that with small children in the house.
Yeah.
I don't think I could have done that.
Yep.
So sometimes you just need a break in life to fix the broken you.
Sure.
You know, and so to put them in good hands with somebody that you say you might know or has a familiarity with, and it doesn't mean that I was a bad person. I just needed to get better.
Right.
So that I could be a better person. And if my kids were little, I'm sure they would have come back to me. And isn't that everybody's goal, is the reunification?
Right.
You know, the woman that testified up at the legislature from the Connection, who was homeless and lost custody of her four kids, and got temporary housing, eventually got all four of her kids back, and they're thriving now.
Right.
So with the services and with the hope, it's great. I just can't imagine the people out there that are willing to take in someone, even on a temporary basis, so that these people can get back on track and become productive and raise healthy families. Because you talk about generational issues, you got to fix it somewhere.
Exactly. Yeah. There is something to be said about treating the individual with their support system, and that's really how it needs to work. Mm-hmm. I mean, that really is the best plan, if that support system is stable, functioning, supportive, healthy. All the ifs, though, right?
Sure.
I mean, that's the other key.
Yeah, and you bring up a good point. I mean, there's so many services that need to go into place very often when a parent is struggling, you know, to meet their children's needs, and it gets to a point where a removal has to happen, right? And sometimes, even with the best services in place, it continues to be a struggle, and it doesn't become, you know, it really turns into long-term, if not a permanent removal, you know? And I think I'd like to think if I was in that position, I'd be able to, on some level, be thankful that while obviously I would want my children back, you know, that at least there was someone that I can trust, that I know too.
Exactly.
There's some comfort in that too, to mm-hmm. know that they're not going to a perfect stranger.
Mm-hmm.
You know, resentments are built up on both sides. You know, I've seen it where, you know, in what we'd call a core home, which would be a traditional foster placement, you know, you don't know the person. You know, I've seen, you know, the wonderful people that are doing those placements, you know, and working really hard on behalf of this child, you know, having some opinions about, you know, this child's parent or parents.
Well, you look at that little face and you say,
how could you do this?
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. But you don't know the story behind
exactly
that parent. And I think that that's something that we also, you know, in our work with families, you know, we have to recognize there's so many stories and chapters for that person, right? Whether it be someone who is struggling as a first-time mom. You know, I did a lot of work at the agency in our Nurturing Families program. I just remember thinking, like, you can look at someone and think, you make an opinion about how they're going to fare as a parent. And, you know, without asking the questions, finding out about them and about where they came from, you know, because, you know, people joke and think, well, I survived my parents, you know, hitting me or beating me or whatever they, you know, and my children will too. Well, maybe they will. Children are resilient. I mean, I guess you could go down that mm-hmm. argument. I don't personally believe that, you know, because I do believe children are resilient, but no child should be, you know,
right.
harmed,
that,
obviously.
Right.
But then I, you know, the bigger question is, but why should they have to, right?
Right.
We can't change what you experienced. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we can probably maybe help you process that with some trauma work or whatever's necessary. But let's change what your child is going to experience and what a powerful thing you can do as a parent.
Exactly.
To be able to change what you thought to be what was right in parenting
mm-hmm.
to a new level of parenting. I mean, it's really, really crucial. And I think, you know, in our, you know, in maybe not in caregiver support, because we're working with the caregivers as opposed to the parent that, you know, had some troubles. But in our other family support programs, we really are making that change. We're talking about the importance of looking at past behaviors as a way to redefine future ones. You know,
mm-hmm.
and that's a gift that you give your child.
Right.
It really is. It really is.
You know, and I would think, too, some grandparents, they didn't raise their kids perfectly, or they may be the problem. right?
Yes, absolutely.
You know, yeah. I look at my own family. I'm like, okay, if something happened to me, which of my family members would I have trusted to raise my kids? Not very many.
Yeah. And sometimes that's, you know, it's not a given that a caregiver will be the grandparent.
But they can also change, right? They know what mistakes they made in raising their kid is now dysfunctional, that just had a kid. Mm-hmm. So, you know, and maybe that's their way of making it right again, saying, I'm not going to do with this grandkid. It's a different relationship than it is with your own kid.
Right.
I can say that from experience.
Yeah, I bet that's hard.
It really
is. It's a hard line to be on if you have to parent, but you're the grandparent, and how do you work those roles, right?
Right.
Or we've had aunts or uncles who have struggled because they are so angry with what their sibling has done.
Yep.
To create this situation, or maybe they can't stay clean, you know?
Yep.
I mean, you know, recovery is such a day-by-day process,
as I know.
you know, and so as a professional, someone in recovery, you can probably understand that better than someone who's watching a loved one make repeated mistakes. Mm-hmm. And how can that be? Mm-hmm. And why do I have to keep picking up the pieces to this? But again, if you look at that child that's in that picture, what an important role that is, you know, for that child to have someone consistent in their life when their parent can't be that consistent person.
Right. And I can say, as someone in recovery, it's that person that needs to focus on themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever that takes. I mean, would you rather have, you know, let's say a 6-month break from your kids to figure it out and to get yourself back in shape, to a year, and then reunify with your kids and live the rest of your life and put those bad things behind you?
Right.
I mean, in the whole scheme of life, 6 months, 28 days, whatever it takes for you to recover or get into a program that has the tools that you need to succeed.
Yeah.
It's so true.
Do it.
Yeah.
Just do it. But you hit on a really good point there too, Tiffany, in that people don't get it. Mm-hmm. Well, you wouldn't have this problem if you just didn't pick up the drink or the drug.
Right.
But when you're suffering and you have a disease, it's not that easy. People need help.
Yeah. They do.
Yeah. I mean, that's their coping mechanism at that point. Good or for bad, that's what they're doing.
And, you know, we see, and, you know, working in this field, that if, in fact, it's substance abuse and the person is, you know, really in recovery and trying to get their stuff together, then everything really hits them. The feeling of guilt, the feeling of, I need to get out of treatment, I can't do this, I need to be taking care of my kids, I have this, I have to, all these 5,000 roles that, you know, we all have in this room, right? And it's really about, you know, taking the time. But it seems, I don't know, I think we see that a lot with our clients struggling with, oh, it's first thing, how long am I going to be here?
Yeah.
is the first question. Yeah. And
well, it freaks you out. I remember when I first went into rehab, and they said, you're going to be here for 28 days, no cell phone, no communication, in another state. Like, are you kidding me? I've got, you know, two kids, they're grown, but they need me. And I've got a business to run and I've got all these things. I mean, who's going to do all that? But you know what? I was there and I had to tell myself, either you give into this program and you take what it's got to give you, or you're going to go right back out there. And that's why they had me go out of state, because they knew I'd run away and come back home. Mm-hmm. I laugh about it now, but it's not funny. And I'm glad they did. So you're right. Take the time to figure it out. I want to mention, too, that if you want information on any of the programs, you can go to the Connections website at theconnectioninc.org, or they have a helpline, 855-435-7955. And again, you two work collaboratively.
We do.
You know?
We do.
And I've seen too in the foster care programs, it's not that you just take a kid and put them into a home. These families, before they get there, they have support and they have continued support. And when we talk to some of your foster care parents at the Connection, that's what they appreciate.
Yeah.
It's not like, here's this kid, he's going to live here now, good luck with that.
Yeah.
There's ongoing follow-up and follow-through, and they really want people to be successful.
Absolutely.
They want you to succeed.
Yeah. So, Tiffany, can you also give us information about how folks in Fairfield County and others in the state could utilize your services at Family and Children's?
Absolutely. So we have a great website that really outlines everything that we do, that I invite people to take a look at. That's Family and Children's Agency. That's one word, Family and Children'sAgency.org. You can also reach us at 203-855-8765. And I think, you know, we've hit on some of the different programs that we do, but we, you know, we focus on individuals and families, whether it, you know, be in the foster care arena. We also have adoption services that we provide, you know, doing home studies for families looking to adopt, as well as, you know, some placement of children, both domestically and internationally. And
that's awesome. I didn't know that.
Post-adoption work,
wow.
You know, yeah.
It's cool.
Valuable stuff.
And it's so wonderful, too. I can speak from experience. I have, well, my parents had me. Then 4 years went by, and they were told they couldn't have any more kids. They adopted my sister as a baby. And don't you know, right then, my mom was told she's pregnant. So I've got two sisters that are almost the same age, and then a brother after that. But, you know, and it's funny, until I hear the word adoption or that conversation comes up, I forget. I forget that she's an adopted sister. She's my sister.
Yeah.
You know, we never really talk about it. It's just not part of our conversation. She's one of us, and it's weird. She had this blonde hair, and she was this big, chubby baby, and it's like a chameleon, right? The longer she was in our family, the more she looks like us, she acts like us. She just became like one of us.
Yeah.
So it is a great gift, That's and it's awesome. A great gift for people to give, you know, to families and to these children that they just want love and affection. That's it.
How many clients does Family and Children's serve approximately on a monthly or yearly basis? Do you know off the top of your head?
Off the top of my head, I mean, over 10,000 lives we touch at least a year. We just celebrated our 75th anniversary last year.
Hey, happy birthday.
So we're not
fantastic.
New to the field, yeah. And really continue to grow, and I think that what I appreciate working there is just, you know, we really look at opportunities and see if they make sense for the work that we're doing and how to expand. We have an after-school program we call Aspire, which when I started at the agency, I thought was really cool. And now I go and spend some time there. We work with middle school and high schoolers and just the opportunities that we provide for those children. Mm-hmm. So I think at every age or every stage of life, whether it be
a
new family or a teenager needing some support, the elderly services that we provide through our home care, and it's just really wonderful.
You know, it's pretty interesting that you said at the beginning that you and I have both been at our respective agencies for over 20 years.
Yeah.
That's unbelievable.
That is. Well, and it just shows the dedication and commitment that you have for what you do, and that's fantastic.
We both love what we do.
Yeah, we
absolutely
love it. To keep
we
going
do.
This,
we
right?
love
yeah.
it.
Well, Tiffany McCarthy, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Again, from Family
you,
and
Tiffany.
Children's Agency. And Lisa, this was a great discussion, and hopefully we've opened up some minds. There might be people out there that are considering fostering, or that are looking for adoption options, or
need support,
whatever it is, you know, help is there. You just got to reach out and ask.
Absolutely.
Well, this has been another great show. Thanks for being here with me, Lisa. It's always fun.
It's always a pleasure.
It is. And thank you folks out there for listening to this edition of The Connection, right here on WTIC News Talk 1080.
Somewhere over the rainbow, way up high, there's a land that I heard of once and I'm
What's up, little psychos? I'm Investigator Slater, host of the Psychopedia podcast. Psychopedia is a true crime podcast delivering raw, real, and absolutely gripping episodes every single week. I dig deep to uncover fascinating details of heinous true crime cases while exploring criminology and psychology theories. I take you into the absolute darkest corners of the human psyche, my favorite territory, and present cases like you've never heard them before. Follow and listen to Psychopedia everywhere you get your podcasts.